T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We back?
You nasty dude. Back. You nasty dude.
This show is flying by. That's always a sign of a great program. Or maybe an off-the-rails program. I don't know. But it's great to have you in. It's a beautiful day. Warrior basketball is finally back. Congratulations to Anthony and Tracy. You won the 2 tickets to tonight's Game 1 that Kalena Azubuike was nice enough to bring in for us. Tickets are still available. Remember, warriors.com. I'm so happy Hoops is back. I cannot believe, like, you want them to make quick work of the series because you want them to get the rest. And you talk about it and you analyze it and it's one of your talking points and blah, blah, blah. And then you get here and you get 8 days and it's no good, Dibs. I can only deal with so much Raptor and Celtic basketball.
Yeah, because I've endured so many years, so many decades of having the season end on April 11th and April 12th. I don't mind a week off knowing that there's more basketball ahead. And sometimes I have to catch myself when you start thinking about, oh, this Warrior season's never going to end. It's going to keep going until mid-June, this and that. What a luxury it is. After so many years, 12 years up to We Believe of no playoffs. No playoffs, no chance of playoffs. And now to get this every year, it really is a gift, and I'm glad that I'm not taking it for granted. It's been incredible.
From the 559, I've listened almost every morning for over 3 years. That last hour was epic. It was, man. They love Kalena Azubuike.
He's good.
It's a hell of a radio program.
Yeah. We were flowing. We had it going. Good. It was good. Funny. Basketball. Life. It was everything. We had it all in that segment. I loved it.
All right. JT the Brick's up next. We're going to go play golf. Thanks for tuning in. Dead air for a couple hours here. Oh, man. Atlanta, though. Interesting insights when you talk about the best cities to party in, the best cities for nightlife. He can talk about that now later in his career. Barnes made the comment, and people are blowing it out of proportion. It's not like they're going to Utah to get it in. They understand the business that's at hand, but it's just fascinating stuff. We'll get more into that in a little bit. John Morosi's coming on to talk a little Major League Baseball. Sonny Gray makes his return tonight. The Giants, could they turn it around in May after beating Kershaw last night? Very interesting. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And the Warriors getting ready to start their second round tonight. Utah is in town. Game 1, Western Conference semifinals. Matt Barnes is hoping to return from foot injuries. He'll likely be ready. Sean Livingston, not yet certain if he'll be ready for Game 1. If not, he'll be there for Game 2. Tim Roy on the station yesterday says the Warriors bench playing very well right now.
I think their bench is peaking. I think it's peaking at the right time. It's playing much better now than it was in November. And I think that's going to give Steve Kerr / Mike Brown options in this series that maybe they wouldn't be as confident of if the games were played in November.
Our coverage begins at 6 with Warriors warm-up. Tip time 7:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 2, the Giants able to get it done in L.A.
Got it. And that's the ball game. The Giants snap this losing streak, this road losing streak, and they come into Los Angeles on a Monday night, and they beat Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers to open up this 9-game road trip.
2 home runs and an offensive explosion for San Francisco, Joe. The hits came in bunches. How many did they get? 15?
I know what you're doing here.
20
you're trying
hits?
To provoke me because I think that's a little hyperbole to use the term hurricane and everything else to describe the offense. Nice effort last night. Great to see Pence and Posey combined for 2 homers, which was their grand total combined for the month of April. But if you're going to tip the hat, you tip the hat to Johnny Cueto, who went 7 strong. He was listed as a bigger underdog last night than any game he's pitched in the last 270 regular season starts. The last time Cueto was an underdog that big, August 19th, 2008 in Chicago against the Cubbies.
Nearly 9 seasons for Johnny Cueto.
This is his debut year.
It's incredible. Matt Moore gets a start tonight against Alex Wood. Story number 3, A's open up a 9-game road trip in Minnesota. Sonny Gray makes his 2017 debut coming back from a lat strain. The game will be heard in its entirety on 98.5 KFOX. and we'll have it to start here starting at 4:15 on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Big O Tires. Through May 21st, save $100 on a set of four Big O brand tires with paid installation purchase. See participating Big O Tires for details. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. The pregame starts at 6 tonight right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. John Morosi is an MLB insider for the MLB Network and Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at John Morosi, and he just got to one of the great cities in America, Chicago, to cover a little bit of baseball. John, good morning. Let's get right to it. When it comes to Chicago, what are you hitting when you're there? Lou Malnati's? Are you going to the Viagra Triangle for Carmine's, for Gibson's? How do you like to do it?
Your knowledge of the night spots here is very impressive, I must say. Some firsthand knowledge, perhaps?
I love Chicago. Never lived there, but I'm like 6 for 6 in Chicago. Every time I go, I have such a great time. I have nothing to complain about at all. And yeah, those restaurants, Carmine's, outstanding.
Yeah, I have been to Carmine's, a great spot down there. It's actually a pretty short trip for me. And, of course, a very quick visit from my home state of Michigan. I'll say this. It was one of those great travel days last night where I had a three-hour flight delay for a one-hour flight. So I literally could have driven here. By the time I was sitting at the airport, I was doing the math. I said, this is getting a little discouraging here. Because I think I landed here at about 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern, so 1 o'clock local time. But, hey, it is all in part of the job. I got here safely. That's the important thing. And very happy to be at one of the most iconic sports addresses in the entire world here at 1040 West Addison.
It's an impressive place to be, no doubt. Next time, perhaps Greyhound would be in order. John Morosi joining us here on 95.
That would have been a bit more expedient than what I did last night, so that's probably a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah,
there.
Without a doubt. 95.7 The Game, John Morosi joining us. Giants able to get one over on the Dodgers. Buster Posey and Hunter Pence have their bats wake up. How important is it for Posey and Pence to show some power figures as the Giants try to recoup some offense here?
Well, they are, to me, two of the key guys. I really look at, the three Ps there with Posey, Pence, and Panic as well as being the real bellwethers for the Giants lineup. And certainly anytime you beat Kershaw in L.A., it's a very good sign. So last night was a very key win for the Giants, trying to get some momentum going back again. The thing I'll say about the division overall is that the Rockies and Diamondbacks appear to have more staying power than I expected. That's been one of the more, I think, interesting developments really across baseball so far this season. Of course, the Rockies just get Ian Desmond back. And the Giants, there's no doubt that, again, with the getting Posey back and Pence appears to be more himself after the injuries took away so much of his season last year, that they are going to play better. The Giants are going to play better. The question I have is, at what point in time, if at any point in time, do the teams that have gotten off to surprising starts come back down to earth? There's no question in my mind the Giants are a better ball club than the Padres, and ultimately that's going to be proven out. But you start to wonder how tough of a task will it be to pass now all these teams in this division as you get towards the top. The Diamondbacks have pitched a lot better than they did last year, and the Rockies as well. So to me, and of course Colorado just gets Ian Desmond back as well, which is a very, positive move for them. So overall, top to bottom, guys, a much tougher NL West than I thought it was going to be. And again, Posey and Pence are so key to the Giants' efforts to getting back into this race.
What concerns you most, looking at this season and seeing how the tough start, but hopefully they're getting this thing turned around? What concerns you more? What's going to be more of a concern for this team, pitching or hitting, in your opinion?
I think, to me, I look at the identity of this ball club last year, especially being that strong rotation and how they were able to really leverage that and almost push the Cubs to the brink in that first-round series. When you lose your ace, I think it is such a profound bit of news that I think really has very, very big ramifications for the entire team. So I would say it's Bumgarner's absence and what that means for the rest of the ball club. I know they certainly have pitched adequately, I think, since he's been out. But to me, that is the long-term concern that I have. And certainly you look to the future and what it means for him even once he comes back. Is he still the same pitcher? Is he going to be able to bear the same workload? All these questions now come into play because you built around so much of your roster and your overall plan around 225 and plus innings from Bumgarner a year. And I think that once that goes away, it leaves a huge void that I really think impacts your club, not just on the day he was going to pitch, but certainly at least the day before and the day after as well.
John Morosi, MLB insider for both the MLB Network and Fox Sports, with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's obviously a sensitive subject, but if things don't turn around and the Giants decide perhaps the best course of action is to sell at the trade deadline, would Hunter Pence be one of those names in consideration?
I think he'd have to be. I think that Pence, of course, is coming towards the end of his deal there with the Giants. You have to at least give that some consideration and some thought. Again, certainly it depends upon how he produces. You look around the game right now, there are a couple different outfielders who I believe are going to garner a pretty good amount of interest. Ryan Braun, we've talked about before. Lorenzo Cain over in Kansas City. You could put Jay Bruce in that conversation. He's actually gotten off to a pretty decent start there with the Mets. But Pence, because of what he has done, being a world champion, we know what he brings to the ball club, both on and off the field. I think when you're adding a player at the deadline, if you're a GM, you want to know, how does this player function under the pressure of a World Series? With Pence, you know that. And I think that's a really positive thing in his favor. The question that I was actually thinking about this morning, guys, what about Cueto? And, of course, he's got the opt-out after the season. So you're not really sure. And I think this is why it's probably not going to happen, no matter how things go for the Giants in terms of trading him this summertime, because you don't really know exactly what you are giving up or what you're getting, which makes it a hard thing to evaluate because of the fact that you don't know if it's going to be a two-month rental and an opt-out, or if, let's say, there's an injury in September and he says, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to opt out anymore, then all of a sudden you've got him on the hook for many, many more years to come. So I think that that sort of uncertainty as to what exactly you're buying and selling on Cueto makes Cueto, I believe, a very difficult pitcher to trade this July for the Giants.
John Morosi joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Interesting point about the contract maybe being a difficulty for the Giants to potentially trade him. Sonny Gray is a guy who has been talked about in trade deadline deals the past couple of seasons. He makes his big return today. What should we expect from Sonny Gray this first time out this year, John?
Well, first of all, very encouraging signs from him in the minor leagues and his two rehab starts. 11 scoreless innings by Gray in the minor leagues this year, just to kind of get himself ready to come back from his lat injury, which, of course, is probably a less serious version of what Noah Syndergaard just had happen to him on Sunday for the Mets. But to me, it's a big start tonight for Sonny Gray for the A's. Of course, 11-14, and so they've slipped a bit from where they had started the season. If they want to get back into the wild card race, they need Gray and Graveman to really be those dependable guys in the rotation. Of course, they now pitch on back-to-back days at Target Field tonight and tomorrow, with Graveman going tomorrow. So I think Gray, it was a better spring for him. It was unfortunate that he had the injury there during spring training. But I saw some good signs from him this spring about him getting back to being the pitcher he was in 2015. And this is a big start. It's really a huge start for the A's in the short term if they want to get back in the wild card race, to see a good outing for Gray where they can really bank on him going forward. It's also a key outing for them from a standpoint of what they might be able to get for him at the deadline if, in fact, as you point out, he's back out there on the trade market this summertime. We have seen him be very good. He finished third in the Cy Young race back in 2015. We saw him pitch to an ERA above 5.5 last year and make it almost impossible for the A's to trade him because there was such inconsistency about how he was viewed from a standpoint of his value. So, big start for Gray tonight, but I've been very encouraged from what I've seen from him there in the minor league so far.
John Morosi with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Is there anything MLB can do to try to dissuade situations from what we saw at Fenway Park last night with Adam Jones from happening in the future? Jones, for those who are unaware, last night the subject of several racial slurs that were thrown his way. A lot of people were ejected from Fenway Park last night. It was an aggressive atmosphere. A bag of peanuts was thrown at him. The Red Sox released a statement this morning. We've kicked around ideas about lifetime bans from stadiums. How do you think the MLB views this situation moving forward?
Well, a couple of things. And number one, Cliff Floyd made a very good point this morning, I thought, on MLB Network, that I think in every ballpark, and again, it's hard for me to say exactly what it is at all 30 places, but Cliff made the point, being an outfielder himself in his career, that it's very important to have ushers positioned down low in those sections close to the outfield fences, because that is where, if there's ever going to be something like this happen, that's where it is going to occur. It's going to occur for those fans that are closest to the outfielders, and I think that allows those ushers to have the best sort of on-the-ground intel about who said what and what the proper course of action will be. I also think from a standpoint of that was a great point you made about the lifetime ban, because when you think about all the information we now have at our disposal, cameras, security cameras, cell phone cameras, social media, we've got a lot of ability, I think, now to determine exactly what happened, who the perpetrators were. And I think when you think about the big picture, that allows us, I think, to have a bit more stringent and a little more certainty about how those punishments are being handed out. So I'm all in support of a lifetime ban. If you are hurling racial slurs, if you are throwing things on the field that could potentially injure players, and just behaving in the manner that is completely disrespectful to the players and certainly the people around you as well, you don't belong in a major league stadium, period. I think that is an absolute fact. We have to, I think, decide as a sport what we all stand for. And I say we from the standpoint of players, the front office people, the commissioner's office, fans, what we want baseball to represent. And then we think about our sports legacy and Jackie Robinson. We have an ability, I think, and a really responsibility to uphold that. And I think that when you think about that, the social responsibility of baseball, I think a lifetime ban for someone that did what happened last night to Adam Jones is completely appropriate.
Well said. MLB insider for both the MLB Network and Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter at John Morosi. It's John Morosi with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. John, as always, thank you for your time. Enjoy the great city of Chicago. We look forward to catching up again next week.
But my pleasure, guys. And by the way, enjoying Chicago is not a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
They make it pretty easy on you when you're in the Windy City.
Especially this time of year. How's the weather? Yeah. I know it was raining last night, but spring in Chicago, it's like
second
to none.
It's a little gray and overcast, but I would tell you, as a Midwesterner, we are very well practiced at making the most, even if it's a little chilly, you can still have a great time in Chicago.
Thank you, John. Have a blast.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week. Thank you so much.
Enjoy it, John. And
no jokes.
Maybe second to one, and that would be what we have going on out here.
Spring in the Bay?
Yeah. Spring is finally here. Is it, Dibs? Pretty nice day out there, wouldn't you say?
I got to disagree. You've got to take spring for what it's worth here. By and large, full course of the year, weather phenomenal. But to compare spring here, you don't get the same mindset and attitude that you get in places like Chicago. You have to realize there's something that comes with the suffering you have to go through in Boston, in New York, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, in Chicago. And when the weather finally breaks, when that weather finally disappears, spring is just one giant party.
Because
sundresses come out, sun's out, guns out. I mean, it is, you're living the dream. Spring is just the everyone coming out of the groundhog hole ready to party. Here, it's like, oh, yeah, the weather in the Bay is fantastic. It's always fantastic. And when it rains, it's fantastic because we have a drought. It's like 365 days of perfection. Like, yesterday was a little hot.
Really? Yesterday was scorching.
Yeah, but still, like, that's not a legitimate complaint.
You're right.
It's really not a legitimate complaint. It wasn't scorching. It was in the 80s. It wasn't Miami in late August.
Your boy was sweating. I was unhappy.
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
I'm supposed to be the complainer of this group.
Yeah. First, you guys complain when it's too much rain, and now a little heat, and everyone's, oh, it's too hot yesterday. I know.
What are you talking about? The raindrops are tears of joy for the state of California.
Bill Romanowski.
That's one of the most profound things he ever said. It's one of the first times I ever spoke with him.
These raindrops are tears of joy.
I want to jump into Cueto and what Morosi said in just a minute, but how closely do you think the Athletics organization is watching this Sonny Gray start tonight? This isn't just, oh, hey, Sonny's back. This is a major, major chip in the arsenal, depending on how you're going to move forward. Perhaps he's going to end up getting the long-term deal. Maybe he's the first guy in this whole new era of A's baseball to get the long-term deal. Or perhaps he's the guy they're hoping plays really well so they can move him at some point and bring back a haul of prospects to get ready for this new stadium. Either way, this start tonight is a very, very important start. You think all the power players are keeping a close eye on it?
I do, and this is the first of 12 really important starts because you start to – I guess pace it out toward when the trade deadline is, and you figure the A's, if they're not in contention for the division or a wild card spot, they might be in a position to move a pitcher. They've got a lot of arms, young arms, guys who can come up. So if Sonny Gray shows over the next 10, 12, 15 starts that he's back, he absolutely becomes a piece that they could move.
Lo, if you're Sonny's teammate, you see him coming back, you know the last couple of years have been a bit of a struggle for him. despite a ridiculous start to his career, what would you be saying? If you're an elder statesman like Stephen Vogt, one of the guys who's been around for a while, when he comes back into that clubhouse, what do you say to a guy like that?
You know what, Joe? I think that you tell him yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today is the present, live in it. And because he's in a situation.
You can just stop right there. That was beautiful. Yeah, a little teared up.
That was it.
Yeah, I just walk out, go home. You're done. You can't do radio better than that.
Right.
Is that a Big Glenn saying? Where'd that come from?
No, I was watching one of the stories, Panda Bear. Panda and
Sandoval or an actual panda?
No, not Sandoval. Actually, Kung Fu Panda, and he was training.
You see, this is my fault. It's my fault for asking.
You got to ride it out now.
But the line was so powerful, so you're telling me what should they say to him. So I'm thinking, I'm really putting thought into the question that you asked me.
Courtesy of Kung Fu Panda, yeah.
Right, and he's training, and they take him to the mountain, and he doesn't want to fight. And he said, look, you can't worry about it. Yesterday, it's history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today's a blessing. Live in it. And that's what he would have to tell him, because you think about yesterday for him or last year, all the ups and downs and ebb and flow of his career. He can't think about that. That's a history. Tomorrow, the future, because the present is now for him. Because no matter how he plays this year, it's going to have an impact on his life forever. Whether he's traded, whether he gets a huge deal, whether he stays here, or whether he doesn't play well and he's traded. So he needs to live in the moment, and tonight is that moment, Joe.
For those of you who are just joining us, what happened in Boston last night, it's the Orioles, it's the Red Sox, the final score didn't matter. Adam Jones of the Orioles was subjected to several racial slurs throughout the evening. The N-word was hurled his way multiple times. Somewhere of close to 60 people were ejected from last night's game. Not all for racial indiscretions, but he had a bag of peanuts thrown at him. He said it's the worst he's been subjected to in his entire, I believe, 11-year career in Major League Baseball. Now, the suggestion that you had, Dibs, is put these people on blast. Write about it in the Boston Globe. Put their names up there. Possibly ban them from baseball for life. Morosi feels similar because of all the sports, baseball is the one that's supposed to be the most family friendly. The last thing you want is a 4 or 5 year old child being subjected to something like this, in addition to everything that comes from it, the vitriol, the hatred. But can you do something like that? Because I feel as if while it serves as an excellent deterrent, the problem is that we're just kind of furthering the hatred. And what I mean by that is putting these people on blast now leads to a whole new slew of problems. People that are going to come out of the woodwork and decide to go vigilante mode and attack these people for what happened.
Well, all you have to do is just, like, if you have a small paper, like Ross, California, for example, up in Marin County, 2,000 people, they put out every week their little newspaper. And in it is all the police calls. You've got, you know, 212 Bolinas Avenue, police call to respond to a loud dog. All the tiny little...
Shut that dog up, then.
All the little crime blottery things get put in there because they need to fill space. If you take an incident like last night and just put something in the paper and say, the following 50 people were arrested or were kicked out of the game, ejected from the ball game, and you list all the people, then these people are going to be held to a certain standard of accountability. I don't think it'll create vigilantism. What it will create would be a bit of a deterrent where... If you get kicked out of a game right now, all it is, oh, you got kicked out. You lose your seat. You don't get to see the game. This would at least make you pause and think, geez, I don't want my name in the Boston Globe so my mom can read it, so my priest can read it, so my boss can read it.
Sully down the street will end up reading it.
Yeah, you never know. This way, at least people would be held to some standard, because right now, you can go out there and N-bomb your way through the game, and if you get ejected, so be it.
So my only question kind of going with that is, do you think you'll get more people, though, who now we have all these people who go on social media and want constant attention? So will more people try to do something like this in order to get more attention, to get more extra social media attention?
That could be a problem. So. Some also consider it a badge of honor to get thrown out of a game. Like, as you're on your way out, that deterrent's not a bad idea for putting them on blast, because if that's not coming on your way out, it's like, I got him. I got Adam Jones. He had a piece of my mind. Yeah, now I'm going to go find O'Malley, pound another Samuel Adams.
Yeah, but they can
they
can say it with no consequences. So I'm with Dibs, because here's the thing, how you deter the crime while you do it. Not only do you do that, but you get their names. You're going to have all the information because you're going to kick them out. And you send it to their employees with the letter. This is what your employee, this is some of the things. And everyone knows it deters it, because people don't want to be labeled as a racist. People don't be labeled. This is what you do. And then your kids and everyone else says, okay, Dad, well, what happened? Well, you were at the stadium yelling at a guy and saying that. I think that would deter a lot of it.
Matt Harpring is a Utah Jazz television analyst. He also had an 11-year NBA career. It's time to get a good mindset for how the Jazz plan on approaching this series. Warriors talk. They're finally back. We're doing that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
These raindrops are tears of joy for California.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Basketball is back in the Bay Area. 8 days since the last game. Finally, time to kick off round number two. This time, it's the Utah Jazz. Tonight, tip time, 7:30, right here on 95.7 The Game. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Guess what? Right here on 95.7 The Game. Matt Harpring, who played 11 years in the NBA, he's going to join us in just a moment to preview tonight's game. We have got tickets to give away to Styx and REO Speedwagon. They'll be at the Concord Pavilion Friday, June 23rd. We're going to do that in about 13 minutes at 8:45. We'll also be visiting with Rod Higgins at 9:10. What would you like to see in tonight's game? Flat out, the Warriors have been off quite a while. So the natural talking point will be, is there going to be rust, complacency, what's going to happen? The Jazz, could they catch them off guard? People think they're exhausted. Seven-game series against the Clippers, they laid it all on the line. This Warrior team, they were ruthless against Portland. I mean, that's as ruthless as you will see them. I got a feeling it's going to spill over. The spread's about 13. Lo, what would you expect to see from the Dubs tonight?
I see a team that's going to come out focused, and I think you see them playing with a new sense of urgency. With Kerr going down, you see the way this team, Draymond in particular, playing even better. If you can just imagine that, KD's full strength now. You expect this team to go out and then do one thing, and that's dominate and play good basketball. They're on a collision course for trying to get that title. They have a bitter taste in their mouth. You've seen the way when they walked off their court, game seven, at home in the Cavs, how they took over the court. And it was sobering for them at that moment. So there's a lot of carryover this team, and that's why they went out and brought in a guy like KD. It's championship or bust. So I'd expect the team to be focused, motivated, and go out and continue to do what they've been doing in this past series, and that's win and also playing good basketball.
How often do you think in that locker room this season, late in the season, and now in the playoff run, you've got someone saying, remember last year, remember what happened last year against Cleveland? You think that's a rallying cry for this team?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's why you see this team, you watch it, they don't take things for granted. That's why you see the way that they're executing. And even this year, winning 60-some games, people are like, this is not going to happen again. And it wasn't like they were trying to do it, but they know. Attention to details. Seeing how, watching their leader go down, Kerr, they are on a mission. This team is focused. You heard Steph. He's joking around. I'm not on any motorcycles. I'm going with motorcycle. I'm going to go skiing. This team understand what's at stake. Without a doubt, there are guys, there are voices in that locker room saying, guys, that's one. That's series number one. Okay, going to number two. Let's continue. Let's take care of business. They got their eyes on the prize, and that's championship.
Dibs, the We Believe tribute that's going to be taking place tonight can only serve to help incite that crowd, will it not?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's partly why they've designed it that way. There's been some talk about the crowds not being as loud as they were 2 years ago when the Warriors won the championship and not being as good as they were 10 years ago for We Believe. All that stuff gets put aside. When the fans settle in at Oracle tonight and they see that tribute, there'll be a video montage, I'm sure, that'll end with Baron Davis dunking on Kirilenko. You bring the guys out and the crowd will get loud. I hope that as the playoffs continue to advance deeper, that Warrior fans also take the same mindset that Lowe was talking about, which is you can't let up as a fan base. You can't take it for granted. If you go to the concession stand at halftime, get your butts back in the seat for the third quarter. Too much, too often this year, when you look at Warrior games in the third quarter, the place is half empty because people are losing interest. Maybe
it's
the
become
Warriors
Miami.
Yeah.
Miami's like that at the beginning of games and at the start of the third during the LeBron era.
And Dodger fans, too. You come in the third, you leave in the seventh. But this, that's always what it's been in Chavez Ravine. But for Warrior fans, you are held to a high standard of vocal excellence. And the team may not need you in this round. They may not need you in the next round, but they'll need you in the finals if you make it that far.
For you, all the years you've been here, everything you've been through, the Baron Davis dunk on Kirilenko, where does that rank in Bay Area sports memories? Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot with this. It's not something we worked up. So if you were to do a Mount Bay Area sports moments more.
That I was at.
That you were. So you were at the dunk, just to confirm.
Yes.
Okay, you're at the dunk. So let's do the ones you were either at, or do you want to bring what you saw on TV in? Because the A's winning 20 in a row. Were you at that?
No.
But that's still probably a huge moment.
Yes. I would put, and I mentioned this to Bo Mel yesterday, I would put the Josh Hamilton dropped pop fly in game 162 of the 2012 season certainly on there. Thank you, Cody. Baron over Kirilenko, absolutely.
Not even a question.
Not even a question.
There's not enough discussion we could have that maybe would move that to five.
No, that may be the greatest sports moment I've ever witnessed. Now, I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Giants fan, so the championships in 10, 12, and 14 didn't move me personally at that level. But I will say, when they were singing the Journey tune in 2010, I think it was game one of the World Series. I was there with my family and Hurricane Gale, of course.
Well, I mean, of course.
You know,
because we got to be there somewhere with family and there's no hurricane.
We had four seats, and then I used my credential. So we kind of were rotating five for four in the seats. And I'd never been to a World Series game. So I would put that moment when the whole crowd was singing Don't Stop Believing at the Giants game, that would be on there. And the final one would be the earthquake game that I called when they scored twice in extra time, down a man to beat L.A. in front of 50,000 people.
Oh.
I was doing play-by-play, and it's a game for which we all won an Emmy. The cameraman, Kate Scott on the sideline.
The game itself won an Emmy?
Yes.
Okay, so it's
the
not
broadcast.
A full season. That specific individual broadcast won an Emmy.
Yeah, Northern California Emmy.
Look at you.
So, and I was fortunate enough to obviously be there, but that moment when they scored their second goal in injury time, down a player, by the way. They were playing with 10. I'd put that on the mound as well.
I think Dibs on that. One of three of the biggest plays that I can remember witnessing as a young lad.
Oh, you want to do your Mount more?
Yes.
Okay, now, is this four things that you've witnessed in sports, just so we have the criteria?
Yeah, three or four things that I've actually witnessed.
Because you've been in some amazing moments.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You got the forward lateral game.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to keep it with the Bay, Joe.
Okay, go ahead. As a fan.
This is not any particular order, but exactly. You got to throw the catch in there. Joe Montana to Clark. That was a moment. You saw him scramble out to the right against the Dallas Cowboys, and he just hits Clark, and you don't know who he's throwing it to, and he goes up and get it, the catch. He's
throwing it away.
Yeah, pretty
Montana had nothing.
it pretty much looked that way, and then another moment was Marcus Allen Super Bowl when he's playing against the Washington Redskins, runs that one to the sweep and comes back reverse fill.
Yeah.
And gets
the way he holds the ball,
yes,
too, the freaking loaf of bread.
Absolutely. And takes it like 80 yards. That was a huge sport moment. And then how about, of course, the Baron Davis? You know that. But then I think that T.O. catch against Green Bay in the middle in the traffic.
It's the first time he ever made a play in the clutch. That's why that was so significant for him. His rep until that play with Steve Young was always Owens doesn't show up in the big spot.
Absolutely.
And he showed up in the biggest of spots to that date. That's a good one right there. That's a really good one.
Thank you. That's all I got, Dibs. That's my Rushmore.
Yeah, you only got
I
two, Coach.
I see storming in there.
Your two faces short.
It's half a Rushmore. Was there an earthquake in the Dakotas?
That was three.
Coach, if you're going to erect a mount, you got to erect a mount.
That's true, Lo.
Don't
you
come half staff
I
on me.
I came with the Baron Davis. That was one. Marcus Allen
that
was
sounds
two.
Like Mount Ripoff more. Because Dibley just did that.
No, but that was amazing. And Marcus Allen, that was two. And then the two Niners plays. That's four, guys. Why are you guys yelling at me again? What happened?
Again.
We'll give it to you.
Oh, Lo, I'm sorry.
Mother's Day is coming fast. Time to spoil mom with decadent gourmet dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at $19.99. Visit berries.com to order today. And for a chance to win a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card, visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. We've got tickets to give away next. The $1,000 for the 4K a day national cash contest is coming up, and we'll continue the Mount Sports Moments more because the text line's going crazy. So if you guys want to weigh in, 888-957-9570, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Tickets to give away. It's the Live Nation Summer Concert Kickoff on 95.7 The Game. You can get $20 tickets to over 30 Bay Area shows now through May 9th at livenation.com/20ticket. Not even doing a trivia questionnaire. We're going to make it simple. Fifth caller in honor of Baron Davis over Karolanka. Caller 5, 888-957-9570 will win two tickets to see Styx and REO Speedwagon at Concord Pavilion on Friday, June 23rd. 888-957-9570. He's a Utah Jazz TV analyst and also an 11-year NBA veteran. You can follow him on Twitter at mharpering15. It's Matt Harpering with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, good morning, and thank you so much for your time. Game one tonight, Utah at Golden State. What's the overall health status of the Jazz heading into this series?
I think it's pretty good. I think that they've been injured pretty much, or at least one or two guys have been injured pretty much the entire year. But for the most part, I think Derek Favors has some questionable back issues. But I think everyone else is pretty healthy, and that's something the Jazz have not had for this year. They've had a lot of adversity this year. They've battled through it, and I think that's part of the reasons why they're playoff ready right now, because some of the guys that have come off the bench this year have had a lot of experience and got a lot of minutes this year. So now that they're healthy, everyone's ready to play.
Is Gordon Hayward bringing his own food out to the Bay Area so as to avoid any possible food poisoning, man?
It's funny because usually that stuff doesn't happen in the home state of where you're playing. You know, you usually hear about the food poisoning cases when you go on the road and players go on the road and that happens. But I don't know what he's doing. I'm assuming the Jazz are feeding the team for every meal.
Watching that Utah Jazz last series against the Clippers, seemed as if the Clippers went on the road and found a way to win and came back home. And just the way that Utah was able to dominate that game, how far is this team away from really being a championship caliber team? What's the missing piece in your opinion?
I think experience. I think that the Jazz are a good team, and I think that they're going to give the Warriors a run for it here in this series. I do think that. I think that their style, the way they play, they're going to hopefully, if for the Jazz case, slow down the Warriors a little bit. And if you play against the set defense of the Jazz, you're going to struggle. They have tremendous length at every position, from 1 through 5, and they do a great job of helping one another out, and they're underrated at the wing positions defensively. And obviously they got Gobert inside. That's, a defensive player of the year candidate. So they're very good defensively. Now, if you get them in transition and you get early in the shot clock shots and you're scoring in fast breaks, and you're going to have success against the Jazz. But if the Jazz are able to slow down the series a little bit and force you to play against their set D, meaning that they're probably making shots on the other end and you're taking the ball out of the basket, not getting rebounds, then that's going to bode well for the Jazz. So it's going to be interesting on how this series plays out, whether the Jazz can shoot a high percentage on the offensive end, which is going to help their defense and slow down the Warriors a little bit. But we all know when the Warriors get going how good they are.
Sure. And when you think about the Jazz, do they really believe, no pun intended, that they can really compete and really beat this team? Sort of like when I watch the Dubs, it's kind of like watching Floyd Mayweather. So many people think that they can get him, and just the combinations and their elusiveness. This team is pretty dominant. So what really gives them hope that they can compete actually on that level?
Well, first of all, they're NBA players. So it doesn't matter, what kind of team. I think every NBA player has pride, and they think that they can beat the next NBA player. So I think fans look at it like, how do these, teams have a chance? But as the player, if you're inside that 12-man group, every one of those guys believe that they can beat their opponent they're playing. It's just a matter of whether they go out and do it. Now, if you look at the Jazz and you look at what happened at the end of the year, I think the Jazz played Golden State at Golden State. It was one of the last three games of their year. I know Klay Thompson didn't play, but they beat Golden State pretty handily. And it's one of those that, I was talking to some personnel with the Warriors. They weren't necessarily hoping that they would get the Jazz. They know that this could be a tough series. They know the Jazz are a good team. It's not going to be a cakewalk by any means. I think it'll be a good series. I'm not saying the Jazz are going to win the series, But I do think it's going to be a lot closer than what people are saying in the national media right now.
Matt Harpering, Utah Jazz TV analyst, 11-year NBA veteran with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I'll get back to the series in just a moment, but I wanted your thoughts on this. Utah in general, the fan base, the organization, do they feel they're able to keep, they're going to be able to keep Gordon Hayward in the fold moving forward? A lot of speculation that he may want to join former college coach Brad Stevens in Boston.
Yeah, that's been some talk for some time. I think Gordon is pretty happy with Utah. I think Quinn Snyder and Gordon have a great relationship. I know Gordon and his family, from what we've heard and read and have listened to, they really enjoy Utah. The fan base there is incredible, as we all know. Obviously, I'm not privy to any insight there, so I don't know. You know, free agency comes and guys can do whatever they want. That's the beauty of the NBA. But I do think Gordon's had great years at Utah. I do think he's been part of the reason why they've had a resurgence in basketball over the last few years. Gordon's been through some trying times early in his career to now getting to the team that is a very good team. And he's the leader of that team. And he knows that when he comes back, he's going to have Gobert, who they signed a $100 million deal, behind him. And he has some pretty good pieces. George Hill's a free agent. So, you know, it depends on who they can lock up in free agency. I think, you know, I'm assuming Gordon's going to talk to quite a few people that are already with the Jazz, maybe some other free agents around. But I do know Gordon wants to win. And right now, if you look at the Jazz, where they are, 51 wins this year with a team that wasn't really healthy this entire year, that's a pretty good young nucleus. And if you go around the NBA, there's just a handful, not even a handful of teams that are as young and good as the Jazz and up and coming.
The Warriors have had some trouble at times in second quarters scoring with their bench unit. How do you think the Utah bench matches up with what Golden State will roll out, particularly in that second quarter when the subs come in for the first time?
Well, that's exactly where Utah has its advantage, is their bench and their depth. And I agree with you that the Warriors this year, their depth is not as good as it was last year. And I think if Utah can do what they did in the Clippers series, where Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood and some of these guys come in off the bench, Derek Favors, and they play well and they score and they kind of out-bench, for lack of better words, the other bench, they're going to have an advantage there. And that's a huge advantage. And we all know how good the starting five is for the Golden State Warriors are, for sure. But, I mean, the Jazz are a pretty deep team, and they got a good starting five themselves. They got tremendous length, but then their bench comes in, and they can go four or five deep off that bench and really hurt you. Joe Johnson had a tremendous series against the Clippers. I mean, he was the reason why the Jazz won that series, is his fourth quarter and how he played and how he produced and scored off the bench.
I couldn't agree with you more. Joe Johnson, the ageless wonder, was amazing. What is going to be Utah's counter when the Warriors decide to go small ball to keep Gobert off the court?
You know, I a lot of people try to do that against the Jazz. And what happens is you put Joe Johnson in the four and you keep Gobert in. Gobert is really unique, and you'll see that in this series. You know, the Jazz don't get a lot of national attention, but this guy can move his feet. And he's very athletic and agile for his size. So the Jazz have gotten by playing small and leaving Gobert in at the five. He's a disruptor, and I think he was first or second in the NBA in screen assists on offense. He's constantly screening and rolling to the basket. He ended up being, you know, a great field goal percentage shooter because he rolls so hard to the basket, and he's so hard to take off the offensive board. So on one end, you said, yeah, well, how are they going to guard, or how's the Jazz going to guard the small Warrior group, but how are the Warriors going to guard and keep Gobert off the glass? I mean, so you kind of edge it both ways there. So just like every series, you figure it out after game one. The coaches kind of battle and they make adjustments. You say, okay, this matchup goes well with this one. But, you know, when teams have thrown small lineups at the Jazz this year, Gobert has been able to stay in the ball game at the five.
Matt Harpering, Utah Jazz TV analyst and 11-year NBA vet. Follow him on Twitter at mharpering15 with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Enjoy the series, and hopefully we can catch up again in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Very welcome, Matt. Thank you. I don't agree with the analogy you used earlier. You equated the team to Floyd Mayweather. I think we can do better than that. If the Dubs were a boxer, I think we could do better than that. I'm not sure he's the best fit. First thing that came to my mind when you said that, I thought Sugar Ray Leonard. I don't know if that's right either. But I was thinking Sugar Ray Leonard. Obviously, text line weighing in on it, too. They're going to throw Ali out there. Ali's always going to get thrown in for everything.
Yeah. They're just Mayweather, you can't figure them out. There's Warrior teams, people try to – it's hard to figure them out.
Oh, I see it. That part's great.
But you're talking
analogy.
About Sugar Ray, you're right, as far as just how fast he was. My thing is, when he's talking about Gobert, here's the thing. That's why I think McGee's going to be a good matchup, because he can run faster. And I think that's going to be the X factor in this game as well.
Is what, McGee or Gobert?
Yeah, McGee, because I don't think Gobert has the foot speed to keep up with him, especially in transition.
And he's just in there in spurts.
Right.
Like, it's really just, we're going to unleash you for about 4 minutes.
Right.
Have at it, Hoss.
Run him.
Have at it, Hoss.
I think the Sugar Ray one is right, because when
you like Sugar Ray?
I do like it, because you remember when Roberto Duran beat him, much like Cleveland beat the Warriors, and they had to go back and fight for a third time. Hopefully, although I can't see LeBron James doing the no mas that Durant
did. I got you, though. That's a good
idea.
I see what you're saying.
In Montreal. And also, you had other rivals in the West, like Thomas Hearns, that Leonard had to contend with. Wilfred Benitez.
Look at you.
Who's like the Spurs character.
Marvin Hagner.
I was alive back then, kid. I remember it all. All those guys.
Yo, we got another boxer guy in there.
Fantastic. We got three boxing guys, and we can't talk boxing. I mean, that's just, I don't know, what would they call that? A paradox?
A waste?
Yeah, a waste, yeah. A waste of insight and intelligence and knowledge and all that stuff. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game. It's got to be someone who's flawed. That's the problem with Mayweather. From a record standpoint, he's undefeated. The Dubs would have to be someone who's flawed. It's got to be someone with a loss, because they had a loss. Speaking of which, that came to LeBron James. He was trolling everybody. This rest, this minutes thing, everything that was going on, the fact that they were maybe struggling. I fell in. I bought it. I thought maybe this team might have a problem. They got no problems. They got no problems. They are well on their way to a collision course. They might sweep their way through the East. They are kicking you know what and taking names right now. It's a joke what they're doing to the East. Indiana, yeah, you hung for a few moments, but you couldn't close, and it got progressively worse. Toronto, I'm done with Toronto. Get Toronto out of contention. The quicker they blow that thing up, the better. You had your chance. You're not doing anything with it. You're not getting any better. You're not being any more competitive at any point. Each year, they're going to take another step back, and then that's going to be the end of that. Boston, what are you going to do? They've won five straight. Give Brad Stevens credit for taking all that heat and then coming back to win four in a row against Chicago and blowing out Washington over the weekend. But what are you going to do when you're matched up with James? Anyone? Anyone. Nothing. He's going to sweep you, too, because you got nothing. The Eastern Conference is a joke, an absolute joke. You can talk about how all these teams are improving, but they're not. Nobody can throw a serious punch at that guy right now. There's not one person. So what you got to ask yourself, if you're a free agent, if you're Blake Griffin, if you want to opt out like Gordon Hayward, Chris Paul, where do you go? Because if you're going to go to the West, you're going to be dealing with the Warriors. Durant's going to re-sign. He'll probably take less so he can keep a couple of the guys in the fold. Steph's going to re-sign. What do you want to do? Deal with that? You're not getting a ring going through those guys. You need to root for injuries. Eastern Conference, LeBron's got another, what, three good years left? Where do you go?
Yeah.
Do you form your own super team? If you're Griffin and Hayward and Paul George, are you talking to each other right now? Are you talking to Chris Paul? We got a break, but we're going to be back in a flash with more on that. And in addition, it's time for the 4K Day National Cash Contest. Text code word HAPPY to 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win $1,000. Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m. for your chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. Lafferty, Daniel, and Gilmore, happy to the T. We're back in a flash. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.